Welcome to the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
Your weekend wake-up tradition.
It's Rosie on the House.
I know that someday I'm gonna travel back to Arizona.
That's where you'll find the Rosie on the House broadcast team this morning out in Wickenburg, Arizona. As the sun is just beginning to crest the horizon, we've got sun up here in about another 5 minutes. We're here celebrating all weekend Henry Wickenburg, the founder of the town of Wickenburg. We're celebrating his 200th birthday. Events go on all weekend long. If you've got time to come on up, they've got a full schedule of events today. We have Mrs. Cindy Thrasher joining us this morning. She is president of the Wickenburg Historical Preservation Society. And kind of a Wickenburg, you are the designated Wickenburg historian.
I am.
And so what qualifications does it take to get that job?
Well, probably because I work to put the Wickenburg House on the National Registry and also the Henry Wickenburg Pioneer Cemetery on the National Registry, and it took a lot of investigation to do that. It's basically a two-year process to get something of that designation. So.
And this is hometown for you?
This is hometown. I actually was from New York, but I lived there a short time, and my dad got a fellowship to go to ASU, and that's why we moved out from New York to Arizona, and we never left after he got his master's degree.
Wickenburg sure beats New York.
It does.
Oh,
it does.
Gosh. It's always been one of our favorite towns. We've spent a lot of time up here. We love it up here. Come trailer the horses up here and ride between here and Congress and west of Congress and all over the area. So we just love it. But tell us a little bit about this character, Henry Wickenburg.
Well, he was a colorful man. He left Essen, Germany to come to the United States. Ideally, he was a wanted man. His family had a farm in Essen, and at that time it wasn't enough to take care of the family financially, and he and his brother started mining coal on the property, and it was illegal at the time. The government owned the mineral rights. The family used to own them, but it changed when the Prussian government came into being, and Henry was caught mining coal on their property, and he had to flee Essen, and his brother also fled Essen. And was found, actually perished in a mining tunnel, and they found his remains 30 years later.
Oh, well, there's nothing like a warrant to motivate you to look for greener pastures.
That's true. That's true.
So he leaves Prussia and finds his way to Wickenburg by a pretty big circuitous route.
True.
Now, you hosted us at the Vulture City ghost town last night.
Correct.
And you just wonder how a guy from Prussia, traveling from San Francisco to the Southwest, what does he see that says, I'm going to start a gold mine right here?
I think what happened when Henry came to San Francisco, he worked in the mining communities along the California coast, ended up in the area of La Paz, Kern Valley, met up with a bunch of other prospectors known as the Walker Party and the People's Party, and ended up in Arizona actually prior to his discovery of the Vulture Mine. About 1862, he drove a team of horses for the government down in Tucson. So we don't really know how he got there to begin with. And then you hear of him coming back or when the government was involved in the Civil War, then they kind of cut Henry off, and he went back to California and then made his way back over here in 1863.
I haven't seen Vulture City Mine in 20 years. So getting there last night and seeing the restoration of what they've done is incredible.
It is. They've actually moved. I saw them move a building last year that was originally located at the Vulture Mine. It was located next to the Presbyterian Church. The Presbyterian Church no longer wanted that building there. They wanted parking instead. And Robin and Rod got a truck, put the house on it, and moved it out to the Vulture Mine because that house originally came from there.
Well, why not?
And we had Rod Pratt on in March, and he described it, and we had not seen it. But he's a man from Canada, had, for whatever reason, had this passion for wanting to restore it. And he had seen it first, he told us, in 2003. We visited with him a few minutes last night. He saw it in 2003, but he said it really declined between what years, like 2012 and 17. He said every time he saw it, it was just exponentially worse.
Once a authentic adobe building loses its roof, it's only a matter of time before it melts back into the ground. I mean, that's the whole purpose for the steel structure over Casa Grande ruins. You know, we were going to lose those ruins if they didn't get in there in the 20s and 30s and put that metal cover over it.
Well, it's a charming setting, and he had taken the, he's got pictures of before and after, and you just wouldn't even believe someone had the foresight to think that, hey, this can be restored. And he had all kinds of artisans and specialists and experts come in and help him with the adobe and the metal and the tools. You can see all kinds of implements from the mine. And I think there's probably, I saw, we walked through about at least six or seven buildings.
We know Vulture City Mine. I got to Arizona in the mid-60s. So it was all but shuttered up by the time I got here. So in my mind, Vulture City Mine has always been a ghost town. But reading a little bit about it last night, I didn't realize how productive it really was.
It was. It was very productive. They say that over $200 million were taken out of it. However, I think there were a lot of high graders and a lot of expenses associated with the mine, and I think that's why you saw a change of hands over the years. Nobody kept it very long. So.
And I was really genuinely surprised last night to look over the hill and see mining equipment at work today. I didn't realize it was an open, active mine.
Right, right. The Todd Beal owned the mine previously, and he was doing a little bit of mining, and I think his goal was to open pit mine, and I don't know how far along he got with that, but that's what the group is doing now that is in control of it.
Yeah, you were talking about stealing the ore. I've heard that in some of the Old West mines, the attrition rate was as high as 30 or 40%. 30 or 40% of all the old good ore that came out of the ground never made it to the assay office.
Yeah, well, there's probably a lot of truth to that.
And this is a mine that has its own hanging tree for the guys that try to.
Yes. There is a cute story with that, though.
A cute story with a hanging tree.
If you look at an old Arizona highway, say from 1942, there's a picture of the hanging tree, and on it is a sign that says 13 men were hung here. Well, now, if you look at the tree, the number has gone up.
It says 18, doesn't it?
It says 18, yes. So I don't know what happened between then and now.
Man, no tell. Well, Miss Cindy, why don't you take a minute here before we go to break and just invite Arizona up to your beautiful city.
Okay, Arizona, we have a wonderful day planned today. We have crafters, at least 40 of them. We have 7 food trucks, a variety of food. We have a vintage flea market, and we have a beer garden. We have a lot of historical speakers that will be speaking this morning, and entertainment. We have Ron Rose Country Experience. He was a contestant on America's Got Talent. So we have a nice variety, something for everybody. We have an antique car show for the men, So come on up and see us.
And where will the car show be?
Down by the community center.
Okay. And tonight, we were at a live music event at the Vulture City last night. But again, tonight, y'all have the band.
We do. We have Chuck Brinkman and the Outlaws. It's free. It's sponsored by Cowboy Cooking, Jim Swift, and we really appreciate him doing that. He's also sponsoring Ron Rose during the day, so we will have Western entertainment during the day as well.
That's fantastic. And there are some kid activities you've got set
up. We have.
What are they, period games?
They are. They are. We have three tents set up in a carnival-type scenario, and they are having ring tosses and all kinds of old-fashioned games for the kids. There'll be cake. There'll be prizes. I heard wonderful prizes. A couple tickets to the Vulture Mine and ice cream cones from McDonald's. So we have a lot going on for everybody today.
Now, I live in Scottsdale and got to Scottsdale in 1965. Now, Scottsdale's always said they're the most western town.
Not anymore.
I think y'all are trying to steal that, aren't you?
I think we've been trying to steal that for a long time.
Maybe not steal it. Maybe
they earned it.
Earned it.
Yeah, I think we've been in competition for a long time.
Y'all are the team roping capital of America.
That's how we tout ourselves.
I mean, you can't even walk two blocks in this street where you don't have some live-in horse trailer rig park.
That's true. That's true. We have them all over.
And license plates from all over.
Yep. Probably more than Wickenburg. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen a lot more out-of-state horse rigs in the day and a half we've been here than I've seen in-state. But I guess in-state, you're just staying at your own place, right? So, we're here. We're here for Henry Wickenburg's 200th birthday celebration in Wickenburg, Arizona. Events scheduled all weekend long. Is there a particular website people could jump on and take a look at it?
Yes. The town of Wickenburg has a website. Supposedly we're on Facebook as well. And it's been advertised in Country Horseman magazine and on the radio, so I think we have a lot of media attention to our events today.
Mrs. Cindy Thrasher, the president of the Wickenburg Historical Preservation Society and the designated official town historian for Wickenburg. I can't thank you enough for joining us this early, dark, cool morning.
Thank you.
Broadcasting outside from a parking lot. We'll see the sun here shortly. It's Rosie on the House. We'll be back right after this.